I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be looking at some verses there and some other places. And this message is one I hope that you'll give some thought to, because it's really an important thing for us to do. The title of my message is, What Kind of Church Member Are You? What kind of church member are you? And if you have found 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'd like for us to read some verses together here in this chapter. And we'll begin with verse 12. We'll read verse 12, 13, and 14. And then we'll drop down to 18 to 20. And then we'll drop to 24 and read down through 28. Okay, so we'll start with 12 through 14, and then 18 to 20, and so forth. In this passage, Paul is using the body to show how the church operates together. Okay, so let's begin reading in verse number 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now verse 18, it says, For now hath God sent the members, every one of them, into the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, were one body, but now are they many members, yet one body. And then drop down to verse 24, For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having been more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Verse 28, And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And we'll stop our reading there. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to understand the teachings that are given here in this chapter and others concerning the body. And we have to realize that once we're saved, we become the body of Christ, and we're supposed to operate in our local assembly like our body operates to help us in our daily lives. And this is the example that's given here, and I pray that you'll help us to understand that and do our best to do our part as a member of the body of Christ here at Heritage Baptist Church. And we ask that you'll just speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, Paul uses a metaphor. And the metaphor is the physical body. And he uses this to explain the function of the believers in the body of Christ. The church at Corinth was having problems because they did not understand how the church membership should function. And so Paul wrote these things to try to help the Corinthian church. But you know, every church can have some problems. There's no perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church, when you join it, it has become imperfect because you're a sinner saved by grace. Okay? So what we have to realize is that we're sinners saved by grace, It's all through the Lord. It all belongs to Him. And that means that we need to do our best to be the member of the body of Christ in our local assembly that assembly needs. Now, membership. What does it mean to be a member of a church? Well, just like almost any word, there are different definitions for a word because of its context. Let us compare membership between a club and a church. We'll start there, get a little idea. The idea is that the more members the club has or the church has, the better it is. The more members in a club has, the more perks they can provide for the members. I was watching a news cast about a ski club. And after watching that, I realized I would never belong to a ski club. But it wanted to offer housing and meals and all kinds of perks, along with the skiing slopes, for an annual membership of $10,000. So to become a member in the club, it costs you $10,000. I'd have to do an awful lot of skiing. And listen, the skiing I have done, I've realized that I won't be doing hardly any skiing if I have anything to say about it. Because there's no brakes. You get on the skis and it gets started, and the only way I could get stopped was, okay, I think when we get near that curve, I'm going to lay down and play dead. And so I just fell over and finally came to a halt because of the drag of my body on the ground. My wife was photographing me at the bottom of the slope, and I don't know how much she got of what I was getting, but I was glad when I got to the bottom. I wasn't going to go back up again, okay? But club membership is set up for its members and usually comes with these perks. Church membership is set up by God to reach the lost with the gospel, as well as all the members benefiting from the spiritual gifts that God has given to each of its members to exercise within and without the fellowship of the church. Take, for example, the Admiral's Club. Now, I don't know if you've been out to the airport, but and I don't even know if American Airlines comes in at your airport. But anyway, if you belong to the Admiral's Club on the American airline, you have different perks, like you get your first bag free, checked free. You don't have to pay for it. I can remember when all the bags were checked free. And bags up to 70 pounds. We could put kids in them. And, you know, and make it really cheap. Well, not really, but we thought about it. A fleeting thought. And if you have a layover, there's a special lounge that you can go and wait in. And you can board the plane before they call for the different zones to board. You know, they got zone 1 and zone 2 and zone 3 and zone 4 and so forth. But these perks only cost an extra $450 a year. Okay? So just, you know. Now, I'd have to fly an awful lot to join the Admiral Club. Okay? But you see, the church is different. It's not what you get for your offering, but what do you bring to the church for the benefit of all, as well as the unsaved around us? That's where it comes in relation to the church. Some need salvation, others need instruction, then some need understanding, and all need to be active so that the body of Christ glorifies the Lord. You know, the local body, Heritage Assembly, you see. So let us note some things about the characteristics that we have in these verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Number one characteristic, all members have different gifts. All members have different gifts. Everybody's not the same. Praise the Lord. If all of them was like me, we would be in trouble. Yeah, just ask my wife. She'd tell you. You would be in trouble. But notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now that word Spirit is a capital S. That means Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then in verse 8 it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Some people are good interpreters. I remember one time I was preaching in a Haitian church in New York City, and the interpreter was having trouble telling them what I had just said. So I helped him. I used a couple Creole words and everybody started laughing. And they knew the English. They knew what I was talking about. An interpreter has a hard job. That's not easy to interpret for somebody. Because some preachers don't stop. They just keep going. They don't give the interpreter a chance, you know? You need people that know all kinds of things. Really, you do. And in verse 11 it says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." You see, if you feel bad about the fact that you only have one spiritual gift or two spiritual gifts, talk to the Holy Spirit about it. Because He's the one that gives you the spiritual gift. Okay? Don't fuss with somebody else. You know, some people wish they could sing. I do too. The diversity we have in the church is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But every member has to function if the body's going to do its job. Now, if I was getting ready to leave and my left leg decided it didn't want to move, I'm in trouble. That means I'd have to hop. Now, I'm not going to get very far hopping, right? Now, when I was 2, I could do it, but not now. You see, I wouldn't get far. And the problem sometimes, if the church is sluggish and not getting the job done, somebody is not doing their part. You see, the body's not functioning as it ought to function. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 6-8, the Bible says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." In 1 Corinthians 7:7, the Bible says, "For I would that all men were even as myself." Paul is talking about himself. "But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that." So we can't expect everybody to have all the same gift. You see, if that were the case, we would walk around and we would have one big eye. And then one other person be walking around and have one big mouth. And somebody else would be walking around and have one big nose. And maybe one big ear. Or two big feet. Or whatever, you see. praise the Lord, we have some diversity. We need it, you see. Another thing about this matter is that all members have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, whether they rely upon the Spirit, that's another thing, but we all have an indwelling Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "is given to every man to profit withal." And if you don't feel that you're where you ought to be in your Christian life, it may be that you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to help you. He's a paraclete. He will help you, but you have to let Him help you. Now, I know you're independent. We're independent Baptists, you know. But that doesn't mean we try to do everything without the Holy Spirit. You see, that's different. That independence means something else. Okay. All members have the indwelling Holy Spirit. This means simply that the Spirit of God gives to each Christian such graces and endowments as He pleases, that He distributes His gifts to all not equally, but in a manner which He shall choose, and that the design of this is that all Christians should use their endowments for the common good of the other believers in the assembly, as well as people outside the assembly that need to be saved or whatever. Therefore, all should employ their time and talents for the common utility, for the furtherance of the common welfare, and the advancement of the kingdom of Christ on earth. You see. So all members have the indwelling Holy Spirit. A third point that I want to make is that all members have unity in Christ by one Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." You see, He's using the function of the physical body to illustrate to us how He wants to operate in the body of Christ, in the assembly of the believers. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And that's a capital S, into one Holy Spirit. You see, the human body is a picture of Christ and of His church. The picture is practical and descriptive. The human body is one organism, one person, one being, one life. Yet it has many members or parts to it. However, despite its many parts, the body is still one organic whole. We're really not together if we're not together. All the parts of the body are still in the body and actually form the body, enabling it to function. You see. So if you're not doing your part, it affects the body. But it also affects you because you're not there to benefit from the rest of the body in things that you need as a part of the body. You see, the phrase, "so also is Christ." Christ is one organism, one person, one being, one life. Yet He too has many members or parts to His body. However, despite the many parts to His body is still one organic whole. All the parts of His body actually give Him form and enable Him to function. The point is that the human body and the body of Christ picture what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit baptizes believers into one body, that is, into Christ Himself, and enables each member to perform his or her ministry to and for the whole body, as well as others outside the body. Point number four, all members are necessary and useful. Now, I couldn't get along very well if I didn't have one of my feet, because then I'd have to use crutches or a wheelchair. or get along without one of my arms. Now, I've seen people that can function that are disabled in one way or another. They've learned to adapt to their situation. But if you don't have to adapt, it's better. Right? Wouldn't you rather have all your fingers and toes and thumbs and your two ears and your eyes and your two feet and all your toes and everything else in between? Sure you do. You see, why? Because you function better, you can operate better. You see. And we need to realize that all members are necessary and useful. In verse 14 it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body." No, it's still in the body. This hand may say, "I refuse." So then I have to do everything with this hand. Why? Well, just because this hand refused. Now, when you talk about the body of Christ, you put yourself in a very awkward situation. And then you say, well, why isn't the body doing this? And why isn't the body doing that? Maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to you about doing this and that, and you're not surrendering and doing what you ought to do in the body. Hello? Are we still here together? Okay. In verse 15 it says, verse 16, "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" No, it's still there. Praise the Lord, I've got two. They may not be as good as they were at one time, but at least I can see. You see. Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Hello? And if we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, then the body is functioning. If everything is working in your body, you work better than if something's not working. Okay? "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Now, we may have some parts of our body, and some people, you know, they complain about different members of their body, you know, and it's just not doing its job. And we could get into details, but we'll leave that right there. It's right here, very clear, you see. But it's necessary. "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh." You see, it's for purpose. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, if I were just to happen to go, the other day we were in one of the malls and they had this display out in an area kind of to the edge of the mall, and they had it replicated the rock face of a mountainside, and people were over there, and I think they were paying money to go over there and climb, and they get up to the top and they tap and then they jump down. Okay, Okay? You understand what I'm talking about. Okay? Now, if I were going to climb a mountain, I want all my parts working. I guarantee you that. I'd hate to have to tie one of my hands behind my back and then try to climb a mountain, you know. Or bind up one of my feet so that I got 1 foot and I'm trying to climb a mountain. I mean, I just don't want to do that. Okay? And I want everything working. I don't want something to refuse to work. Now, every member is necessary. The foot may not be as gifted as the hand in handling things, but the foot is still part of the body. I saw a fellow that didn't have any arms and hands. He was doing everything with his feet. He was doing better than I can do with my hands. Honestly. He was a seamstress. And he was cutting and sewing outfits for women. Women came to him and he made beautiful gowns for them. Had only his legs and his feet and his toes. No arms. Cooked for himself. Everything. He did everything with his feet. But I'll guarantee you, I guarantee you probably could have done better if he had everything, you see. The foot may not be gifted, but the foot is still part of the body. And the ear may not be able to envision things like the eye can, but the ear is still part of the body. Each member has its essential function. The eye and the ear and the nose, they all have their function. If we do what we, you know, have been gifted to do and make, you know, and if everybody does what they're gifted to do, what a difference it'll be. Now, there's three significant applications I want to make. The body of Christ, the church, can operate only if every member functions as they are gifted to. And then the body, the church, becomes handicapped if some members do not function and do the work that they are gifted to do. And the ability of the body to operate is determined by the number and efficiency of its members. The more the members of the body, the church, function efficiently, the more the body or the church can do. You see, it's amazing what some very small churches do, but everybody in the body is going like a honeybee, doing their part. In the history of the United States, there was a church up north that started 200, over a period of years, started 200 churches in the southeast part of the United States. It's in the Baptist history books. This church would send a couple out to a place, and when they got there, they'd start witnessing. Next thing you know, they had a church going, and another couple would go, and the church never was above 60 membership in the original church. Never above 60 membership. And yet, over a period of several years, they started 200 churches. How'd they do that? Well, they were functioning properly. Another point is, all members being different still work together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, it says, "And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of the healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues." The word tempered that you find in verse 24 means to mix or combine and blend together. You know, when you are trying to fix dents in a car, you get a product, well, in the States they call it Bondo. And it comes in a can, and it's like well, it's like clay or putty, and they have a catalyst. And you have to put just so much of the catalyst, the liquid, in with it. You put a little bit out on a thing, you know, and you put a little catalyst in there, and you mix it up real good. And then you go over where the dent is in the fender, and you take a scraper thing, and you get a little bit of that, and you go, pew! And here's the dent. But you spread that over there, and it looks like that when you get through. And when it gets hard, you take some sandpaper and sand that real nice and smooth. Then you put a primer on there and put paint on there. And the only way a person knows that that car has had dents in it is to take a little magnet and just kind of run it along the side of the car. You got to know how to check out a used car, because I don't buy new ones. Okay. Yeah. You check it out. And you know if it's been in an accident or it's had body work done by just have a little small magnet. And you just take it and you just kind of run it along. And if it doesn't want to stick to the car, there's some Bondo on the car. Okay. Now, that was free. I gave that to you free, okay? So the next time you have to go check out a car, you take a little magnet with you. Yeah, okay? But tempered, and God through the Holy Spirit can take people from anywhere and all kind of abilities and differences and diversity and put them all together and mix them a little bit and make a body that can hum and purr just like an electric motor does. You see. The prayer warrior is much more essential than the soloist who is out before the people. The lay witness for Christ is more necessary than the preacher who stands in the pulpit. The person who ministers to the sick or elderly is more honorable than the committee chairman who leads the whole congregation at administrative matters. God has tempered and blended the members together to keep them from clashing. There should be no jealousy, no pride, no diversitiveness within the church or God's work. For God has gifted every believer to complement the others. God has gifted all to function together in harmony. In 1 Corinthians 1:10 it says, "Now I beseech you, or beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions or schisms among you, but that ye are be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Okay? Do you know how to remain a member of a country club? Pay your dues. Pay your $10,000 every year. Hey, you'll be a member and you'll have all the perks. Yes, sir. Do that and people will be available to serve you. Do you know how to maintain a biblical, remain a biblical member of the church? Give abundantly. Serve without hesitation. This kind of a member gives, serves, ministers, evangelizes, studies the Word, seeks to be a blessing to others, and this is the member that God blesses. So if you want God's blessings, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Believe the Word of God and do what it says. Hey, it's a no-brainer. It's a win-win. And everybody can be a winner. Everybody can be a winner. There was a little story entitled "How Much Time for God?" Said the preacher to the inactive member, "I'm so sorry to see that you have quit the church." Said the inactive member indignantly, "But I have not quit." The minister replied, "You do not attend worship or study. You do not give your money. You do not participate in fellowship or work. You do not offer to be of assistance in helping others. What is it that you would do if you quit that you have not already done? And some people, you know, get indignant if, you know, they get their eyes off the Lord and they're not doing what God wants them to do and, you know, not living for the Lord. Reminds me of an illustration. One day there was a chicken and a pig walking down the road together. The chicken saw a man lying in the ditch, looking hungry and downcast. The chicken said to the pig, "Let's do something to help this man." The pig said, "Well, what do you have in mind?" The chicken said, "Let's give him a fresh meal of ham and eggs." The pig said, "Hey, wait a minute. For you, that is partial commitment. But for me, that is total commitment." Well, we laugh about that little story, but I'll guarantee you, the Church of Jesus Christ here at Heritage will work so much better if we're all totally committed and the member that the Holy Spirit and God wants us to be. And if we do that, there's no way of knowing what God could do in and through us in the days ahead until Jesus comes. Amen?